This is a really new experience for me to preach and hear nothing. I do have some of you on my screen as I'm also trying to do something I've never done before, which is actually have a sermon written in front of me. I read with alarm yesterday. The corona case viruses had grown to 36 today here in Hawaii. Today it's now at 47. They'd grown by 11 yesterday, 11 more today. Maybe that's a good thing that the growth has only been the same as the day before, but the truth is we know that the numbers that I've just given you are outdated numbers. We know that in New York and California and Washington, as those of you that were on early, our friend Angelica, who is on this Zoom call right now from Long Island, is starting tonight at 8 o'clock. They are going to do not as harsh as what California is doing in the Bay Area of sheltering in place, but a quarantining for the entire state. And what we are reading from New York and California and Washington is that they are now beginning to declare that they are beyond the point of being able to contain the virus. In fact, they are beginning to tell people don't come and get tested, because what they need more than anything else right now are masks and gloves that needed for the front lines. And if people are using masks and gloves to test people who end up needing to not be tested, then that is masks and gloves that are not going to those who are on the front line and need the help the most. These are indeed scary moments. And like all of you, I know that I hunger for news and information that will provide the clearest way forward, not just for myself or my family or you, my faith community, but for our state, our nation, for the whole world. And I can tell you that because of that, I have little patience for the finger pointing that seems to be the lifeblood of the full body contact sport that is our 24 hours news cycle. That is the full body contact sport of our instantaneous and unfiltered messaging, of political campaigns that only begin, it seems, anew every day. And when someone is elected, the campaign just carries on and carries on. If looking at mistakes has been made a part of examining new and shifting strategies and how that we might move forward effectively, collaboratively, compassionately, then I'm all for it. But all too often, the finger pointing is used as distraction, deflection, as gamesmanship, as excuses for non-action. And so Jesus' words that began our scripture reading couldn't be more appropriate. Beware, he says, of focusing on the speck in your neighbor's eye when you have a log in your own. I personally like the Pidgin English translation of today's scripture that begins quite simply with, eh. If you don't let God judge you guys, then you know judge the other guy. You don't let God judge you guys, then you know judge the other guy. How come you try to spot one small kind piece of junk in your brother's eye when you get one 2x4 in your own eye? Playing the blame game, pin the tail on whoever it is will not move us forward and will not bring solace to those who are grieving. For in the immediate moment that we are in right now, we need scientists, untethered from political realities, to move us forward with technologies and solutions that only a few months ago we didn't even know we needed. And amongst us gathered of the now more than 80 participants on this call, there are a few of those indeed scientists that we need, but that's not most of us. We need courageous frontline workers in our hospitals and on our streets who are willing to daily face the virus. And amongst us on this phone call, on this Zoom call, are gathered today a few of those, but not most of us. We need wise government leaders that are elected, those that are elected, and those that are career government leaders who can enact strategies that cope with disaster response, that bring relief for the most vulnerable, and a future where lessons have been learned. And amongst us gathered today, I'm looking at some of them right now on my screen, are a few of those folks, but that's not most of us. We need brilliant money managers and economists who can light up a path that will be wide enough to bring everyone forward. Perhaps a way forward in which some have less in their pockets while others have more so that all can thrive. And amongst us gathered today are those money managers and economists, but not all of us. For most of us, the role that we are going to play right now, in these days, right now, is how to model a different way of being. And not a way of being for a month from now a week from now, a day from now. It is month by month, day by day, excuse me, that we are having to do this model. And we're having to model a more other-centered, less self-centered. I might indeed say a more centered, compassionate, loving way of being. So when we read the scripture we just read, and Jesus speaks to the crowd and he says what we just sang as well, ask and you shall receive, search and you will find, knock on the door and await the answer. It is to that centered way of life that he is calling people to. This is not a scripture that is to be used so that whatever I want to pray for, I will get answers to my prayers. This is a scripture in which Jesus is calling us to ask, to search, to knock, to find the way that is a way that is centered on God, that is centered on a different way of being. This is what Abraham Lincoln called being centered on our better angels. The First Nations translation of this very scripture, as it goes on, says, even we who are bad-hearted, I love that. The phrase of who we are when we're going astray is we are bad-hearted. Even we who can be bad-hearted know not to give stones when a child asks for bread. We know not to give snakes when they ask for a fish. We know better. And in this moment, we are called to not just know better, but to do better. And I am encouraged every day. Every day I read stories of indeed this being a moment when we, in fact, do better. While the government is considering right now a $1 trillion bailout, I read this wonderful story that came from Jonesboro, Arkansas. Jonesboro, Arkansas, and its downtown area has a lot of favorite restaurants, bars, and coffee shops, and most of those bars and restaurants or coffee shops are owned by Young Investments. This week, Clay Young, the CEO of Young Investments, sent a note to all of the tenants, to all the folks who run those restaurants and bars and coffee shops, and said, instead of paying your rent now, pay your employees, take care of your family. We will get through this together. Imagine how much smaller a bailout we might need if everyone just cut everyone some slack in this moment. Our utility companies here in Hawaii are agreeing to do just that. Our finance committee is going to be meeting in the coming weeks, and we will be having the same sort of discussion of what do we do with those tenants for whose money we count on in order to pay our bills. How shall we go forward together? Could this be our George Bailey moment from It's a Wonderful Life? When all the goodwill that we have had with one another, we begin to now share with one another to make sure that everybody gets through together. Indeed, it can and it needs to be. We are seeing companies worldwide retooling their operations to meet the need. In Singapore, there is a gaming company named Razer. Razer has quit making games and is repurposing its production lines now to make masks. In the United States, General Motors and Tesla are offering to retool all of their operations in order to make ventilators. In the UK, the government is delivering ventilator blueprints to more than 60 military engineers and car manufacturers, Rolls-Royce, Airbus, Jaguar, Land Rover, in order to get them to make ventilators. In New York, there's a network of thousands of volunteers that was created by 220-somethings. And I want you to hear that, 220-somethings. Every time you watch that Fort Lauderdale video of 20-somethings being at Fort Lauderdale for spring break and saying, hey, I just want a party. Remember, they are the outliers, the ones that are really there in the game, and there are thousands and thousands of them, are like these 220-somethings who created a network of thousands of volunteers in New York City, delivering groceries and medicines to older residents, to other vulnerable people. In Canada, they've created a new word. We are no longer talking about warmongering. Instead, in Canada, they are talking about caremongering. Caremongering that is sweeping the country as people look for those who are in the greatest need. And right here, I don't know how many of you partake of Old Polly Road whiskey created by Ko'olau Distillery right here locally. They have the ability to legally distill alcohol. What is the primary ingredient in so many of our disinfectants? Distilled alcohol. They have made this decision right now to no longer be manufacturing whiskey. but to switch to hand sanitizer for critical services. And furthermore, Ko'olau Distilleries is providing this free of charge to first responders, health workers, and essential civil service employees. Eric Dill, their CEO, said, "We realized yesterday that we are in the unique position to be able to help our greater Ohana through this unprecedented situation. Everywhere, worldwide, locally, people are retooling lives and repurposing their very purposes. Every single day, I receive phone calls, emails, texts from someone in this community of participants who are right here on this Zoom call who are saying to me, 'I'm here to help. Let me know where it is needed. You need someone to deliver food? I can do that. Handiwork? I can do that. Babysit, keep company.' The list goes on and on. And more than anything, we are doing things we thought we might never do in order to be loving, in order to be connected, like practicing social distancing, like not hugging, not touching. I know how utterly hard it is for this community to not be wrapping their arms, not doing it virtually, but doing it actually around each other. And yet that's what we are doing. We are going online. We are learning to Zoom. Over 80 of you, and I would bet 75% of you have never Zoomed before. And here you are right now listening to this. Karen Howell, I just saw that thumbs up. As Cindy Wang Brandt, host of the Parenting Forward podcast, says, together we can flatten the curve and not overwhelm the healthcare system. If it takes a virus to remind us we belong to one another, well, here we are. Indeed, as Jesus reminds us with that which we know is the golden rule, treat others as you would want them to treat you. He also reminds the crowd that this is nothing new. This is how we have always been. This is what the law and the prophets are all about. Dr. Wilda Gaffney, who wrote a book called The Womanist Midrash, talks about public health policy that is embedded in the Hebrew scriptures, particularly in the book of Leviticus. And I'm not sure how many of you have been doing any nighttime reading with the book of Leviticus, but if you're having a hard time going to sleep, I would recommend pull out the book of Leviticus. It may put you right down. But here's the truth. In the book of Leviticus, in chapter 19, is where, in fact, the golden rule is first articulated in our tradition. And it is in Leviticus where we find rules about washing hands, about ritual bathing, about nutrition, and even about quarantine practices. And what we realize when we are reading that in Leviticus is we are actually reading about a nation's public health policies that are grounded in how to be in relationship to God, and relationship to the community. Good health, physical, spiritual, societal, starts with loving your neighbor. And the truth is, there are moments like now in which loving your neighbor means to refrain from touching, to stay in your home as much as possible, to practice social distancing. We had the choice to create different platforms that we could do this worship service on. We chose to go with Zoom because Zoom allows all 80 of us to be in separate places. We were going to have all of the participants in the worship service be in the sanctuary so that there would be a sense of normalcy while that you all are watching this service, because you would see there. The only person is Chris and a wonderful hula dancer that we're going to have in just a moment. They're the only ones that are in the sanctuary right now. Everyone else is in their own home. And we did that intentionally and purposely. And this decision was made just a few days ago because things are changing that quickly. Recognizing that the one thing that we can do is that we can model to our community what we in fact need to do. We need to stay away from each other as much as possible. We need to work from home. We need to take advantage of the homes that we have created and do what we can to be here. Because you know what the public health folks tell us? Is if we could just do that for 15 days, we can stop the virus in its tracks. If everyone stayed away from each other for 15 days. And so that's what we are doing. That's what our public officials are asking us to do. And that's what we are modeling, and hard as it is to do that. Such neighbor loving seems so utterly strange. The results are showing that in fact it can have positive results. Evidence is showing right now that the transmission rate coming out of China has been greatly slowed because of the fact that they have incorporated extreme social distancing, but in other ways as well. Practices of neighbor loving also change our habits of consumption. Think about that. Think about what you have been doing in your homes. For those of you that have been doing something close to sheltering in place, think of how your consumption habits have changed. And when our consumption habits change, it changes our very relationship with the entirety of the community of creation. And what we are seeing in China as they now look at this, it is not just slowing transmission rates, the social distancing that they've been doing, but it has also been reducing the small particulate matters that go into our atmosphere. It is those small particulate matters which are the residue of our carbon habits and the residue of our manufacturing that are the prime cause of many respiratory illnesses. And here's what some are estimating, is that by reducing the particulate matter, the small particulate matter in the atmosphere in China right now, because of the way they have been social distancing, that at least 1,400 children and perhaps 50,000 adult lives will be saved. That is more lives than the virus is claiming, because we have changed our habits of consumption. Similar estimates are happening right now as they look at compare this last week in San Francisco with a week ago, the same week a year ago in San Francisco. The particulate matter is down 40% in San Francisco. In New York, it's down 28%. In Seattle, down 32%, because people are shifting the way they're consuming. In Venice, with boat traffic grinding to a halt, the canals are clear for the first time in generations. In Sardinia, in the waters that have been so polluted for so long, there are now dolphins swimming along the coast for the first time in years. There are signs all over that just this briefest of pauses, in which we are being asked to love our neighbors in many and different ways, has had a powerful positive effect on the entirety of the creation as a whole. My friend Daniel Kinzer shared a Facebook post recently from Jessica Lee Pendleton, and when she said, and I love this, it kind of feels like the earth just sent us all to our rooms to think about what we have done. It kind of feels like the earth just sent us to our rooms to think about what we have done. It is not an easy path, the road that is before us, this timeout that we are in the midst of. Different responses than that. It calls for different responses than that which we have when fear and panic define our world. When fear and panic define our world, that's when we simply look out for number one. That's when we begin to hoard, when we begin to point fingers and look for scapegoats. We react this way because we think that is how we shall live. But we are, in fact, when we do that, we are, in fact, stepping onto a path that ultimately will be riddled with death and despair. As Jesus says, such a pathway can appear to be easy to follow, but it will not ultimately get you to where you want to go. If you want to get to life, full and vibrant, for all, not just a select few, that road can be hard, but it is the road that we are called to follow. And we are being led throughout the world, sometimes by those who we've been conditioned to expect the least of. For instance, last week, a large consignment of crates arrived in Italy. It was addressed to the country's civil protection department, and it was from the consumer giant Xiaomi, X-I-A-O-M-I. Xiaomi had established its operations in Europe, in Italy, in 2018. Inside were tens of thousands of the most critical face masks that were needed for Italy's healthcare workers. And what there was a note on it that said it was a token of gratitude to the Italian people for making these Chinese workers in 2018 feel so welcome when they first came to Italy. And stapled to the side of each of the crates was a quote in both Italian and English attributed to Seneca, the Roman philosopher. And this is what the quote said: "We are waves of the same sea, leaves of the same tree, flowers of the same garden." Waves of the same sea, leaves of the same tree, flowers of the same garden. We are indeed all worldwide waves of the same seas. This is our moment to seize. It is not just for the time being that we need to be this way. It is not just about flattening the curve, but this is our moment to seize as a way to truly reconsider what shall be our normal. how shall we define ourselves? But we know this, this moment will pass. It may be in a few months, maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's 18 months, we don't know. But we know it will pass, and it will. And as Angus Harvey wrote in an article entitled, We Are Waves of the Same Sea, he said, this moment will recede in our consciousness and it will become a part of history. We'll rebuild, move on, and try as hard as we can to return to normal. But then he says, we shouldn't return to normal. We shouldn't return to the old normal. In fact, he says, we shouldn't. We can do better. Let's not let a good virus go to waste. The gate to life is very narrow. There is a hard road in front of us, a road of pulling together, a road of doing things so different than what has been our normal. But we could create a new normal. The gate to life, Jesus says, is very narrow. The road that leads there is so hard to follow. Take that road. Take that road. Take that road. Amen.